All right, let's see if I remember how to do this. All right. Welcome in to episode 104 of Coffee and Shell. That is correct. You're seeing and hearing this. This is not make-believe. Myself, Sleeves, and Padre are back to keep this thing just alive enough to give us a pulse. It's been a minute. We're going to break down some things. We're playing NHL still, and we're going to talk a little Four Nations because we need to. So, Stu, I think usually I ask, you know, how life's been and whatnot, but since it's been 7 months since our last episode, I think it might take too long to recap all of that. Let's just talk Four Nations. You know, I think that's the best way to start, okay? I was in chat yesterday on my stream. Obnoxious. I am okay to admit I was over the top. I was ecstatic, and it was, dude, I don't want to say, it's not like the people saying it's the biggest game of all time. A little much, but it is 100% the game that made me feel the most since like game six against the Blues in 2019, maybe as a Sharks fan. I don't know where you stand as you've seen a Stanley Cup with the Blues, obviously, and you've watched a billion hours of hockey. How did it rank, you know, bearing the result?
This is, I honestly, like...
We're going to fight.
No,
we're going to fight.
I honestly, with knowing Benner and Parayko, I viewed it as a win-win for me at least. And a lot of my friends, too, we were... So the hate that Jordan Binnington gets is so over the top. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's not just because of the soft goals. Mm-hmm. They have these crazy... I'm going to use the word woke... media people that try to cancel him for something he said when he was 13 or 14 years. I mean, on the tweet, it literally says he tweeted it from a BlackBerry. That's how old it was.
Yeah.
And he made fun of a cab driver that he was in the back of a car for. And he said, I think he said something about getting a woman to get back in the cab. I don't know. I can't remember. It's something about whatever. And these people hold on to it. They held it. I remember before his first playoff start, some random guy in San Jose named Paul Gackle dug it up. And I'll never forget it because I was like,
I actually don't know that. I actually haven't seen that.
And he's just a blogger. He was just a blogger. And so Binnington had to face the heat right before game one against Winnipeg. He went on to play a great game, typical Benner. Like, just anytime there's noise, he plays good. It's always been that way. That's just how he is. He's a completely strange goalie. I'm not even, and listen,
I get it. Weird.
I get it, Team Canada fans. You went from, you know, Price to Luongo to Brodeur. And I understand Benner's not. You know, he's not that echelon of a goalie, but it was just like so annoying reading the tweets and people just like don't. It's just so funny because people don't watch the Blues, and I even said a tweet in that I said, "Hey, I don't blame you. They're boring. I don't expect you to tune into Blues games. I don't tune into Buffalo Sabres games every day because it's dead as a doornail in there. And like, but I try to like watch it a little bit and I don't come out with hot take." Uneducated opinions, but then back it up with, hey man, here's my analytics chart that shows his high danger. And it's just like, dude, shut up. Like, I watch him every night, and this team since Petrangelo and O'Reilly, and just go down the list of guys that have left here.
Bomeister.
You're going to have you're going to have a worse defensive team. Your goalie's going to suffer. He's the only reason why we're not a bottom five team for the last like 5 years. And like, people don't get that, and that's fine. But I think he showed, in once again, because people are like, oh, 2019, 6 years ago. And it's like, that's great. But he showed it again. He's the best goalie in that time for that type of moment. I'm not saying he's the best in the world. I'm saying, like, he is. When the chips are down, he plays big. And you saw it as a Team Canada fan. So I was actually, like, here we go.
Because of a personal – yeah, exactly. That's very interesting. People, I didn't think of it like that.
People are going to say that, oh, you don't care. No, I wanted America to win. I went before the game. I said, I hope USA wins 1-0 on a deflection by the Kachuk.
Yeah.
Or somebody like, you know, because I like –
And you got close.
Yeah, and like I was hoping it was like something like that, right? Like where it wasn't his fault. He couldn't get – I mean, dude, he was getting blamed for – like I used game one, the one that you're at, right?
Yep.
Kempe scores through traffic, through his
legs. I was at the USA-Canada game.
Oh, sorry. Well, that first game, right? You watched it. Kempe scores through his legs, rough, right? Yeah. Through Doughty's legs, right? Marner's goal is the exact same thing. But Marner gets applauded, and because it's Marner, it's a make-believe. and it's a moment, right?
Yeah.
But Binner gets killed. So it's just, that's the kind of thing that was driving me bananas. Like, the goals that I know that were soft are like the Gensel goal that you were at.
Yeah,
or like the Esselindel when you're up 4-0. It's like, who cares? Mm-hmm. I mean, they were going to, I know they almost choked to Finland. Okay, whatever. Like, Canada also sat back on their hands, just like the game that you were at.
Yeah.
I blame Canada for scoring one goal. Yeah. When you have Sidney Crosby, Connor McDavid, and
The U.S. decor is the best in the world. I think, like, I mean, Canada didn't have its full complement, but man, watching both of those games in person and just on TV, there was nothing in the middle. Canada could not get into the middle of the ice at all. And I don't think Hellebuck had good rebound control. I think he struggles in the big moment a little bit. Not that he played poorly against Canada in the final, but I think that a lot of that was hit the, especially the one I was at in Montreal. Like, it was after the first period, man, watching every rush. If McDavid wasn't driving right through at 400 miles an hour, they just couldn't get into the middle. Everything was on the outside. It was brutal. It was so frustrating. McAvoy's a dog. But let me, okay, so when it comes to, with the Binnington thing as well, I think that because of all of his antics that he's had too, hasn't always put him in the best light, but that's interesting. Yeah. That's an interesting take that I didn't think about, because you had very popular Blues players. I'm also a closet Blues fan now. You've made me that. Robert, hanging out with Robert Thomas has done that, right? And that happens a lot. Like, I hated Charlie McAvoy until I got to hang out with him. And that's the thing. When you see these guys, or even just get a short interaction with them, completely change your entire perception, because they're actual real people, right? And I think that you have a very unique, obviously, relationship with a lot of them. You had we won't say who it was, but I remember when, leading up to the event, you texted me and you were like, insert a player, and you asked them if they were going to try. And someone said, we're going real hard.
Well, I'll say, like, some of the things I talked about. So, like, and, like, same with Parayko, too. Like, I was, it's funny, too. Like, we're going to be all over the place in this episode.
We are. We're going all over the place, fellas.
And we'll talk all about everything, honestly. Yeah. Like, we'll cover everything. But, like, and it's fun. I'm excited about it. So, this has been, like, the first time where I feel like we have, like, substance to talk about. And, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of game substance. But we'll get to that. Video game substance, it's going to be tough. But, like, Parayko, I was excited for him. Everyone's like, oh, like, the fights, right? Like, I know the Tkachuks because we skate here in the summertime, and they're good kids. I know Canada, a lot of Canada fans don't like them.
They are my favorite players I've ever met. I've hung out with a lot of NHLers
great
now.
Kids. Yeah, like, my favorite people. Kids. They're, like, they're such good dudes. And, like,
nicest people I've met.
And I was pumped for Colton Parayko because he never fights. He gets a bad rap here because he's 6'6", and why are you not Chris Pronger? Why are you not spearing people?
Yeah.
Why are you not cross-checking people? Why are you not mean and nasty? Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? And that was another thing. I've seen, like, Canada fans like, oh, God, don't have Parayko out on the ice. I'm like, why are we scared to have Parayko out on the ice? He's one of the best defenders in the league when it comes to just, like, pure defending. Pure defending. He's not going to be Makar and dipsy doodling and be able to snap it around. Like, he's not meant for that. But he skates like the wind. He's 6'6". He's got a stick that's as long as a freaking pole vault.
Mm-hmm.
And he's good. But, like,
if everyone was healthy, too, it's interesting because, like, the Parayko, yeah, there's a lot of perceptions that have been changed.
If everyone's healthy. And so then that'll get some people that I talked to,
like,
right?
Yeah, I think Parayko would have been, like, maybe, like, in the bottom. Even if Pareko's in the bottom pair, yeah. Pietrangelo and Theodore are back. Like, the decor for Canada would have been a decor. And I think that was the biggest difference, was that, you know, USA had this unbelievable lockdown defense. No, they couldn't get into the middle. And I think that if Canada had their full decor, it would have looked more like that.
Yes.
And Parayko, you know, had to step up massively. Dude, I tweeted this out, like, core memory for life after the first 9 seconds in Montreal. That building, I don't know, unless you are a fan of a team that has won a cup, I don't know even how you can. I was talking about this too, like, the Olympics have such an advantage. Actually, I don't know if it was with you. It might have been Subban. I got to meet and hang out with Subban a little bit, who is under some fire from crazy anyways. And at the creator event, and someone was saying along the lines of, like, the Stanley Cup final is two team fan bases at the end, and then hockey fans will tune in because it's the Stanley Cup, right? They want to see who wins. When it's best on best in the Olympics, it is legitimately entire countries. And when everyone is bought in, it is, like, you can't say it's better than the Stanley Cup, because if your team ever won the Stanley Cup, I would trade in the next 4 Olympic gold medals to see the Sharks win once. just because I want to see it once in my lifetime, right? If I was a Penguins fan or something else that like has seen multiple Cubs, maybe it's a bit different. But when the politics behind it, the fan bases needed something to just argue and be mad at each other about. And then when that game started and the building is nuts, it wasn't the first two fights, because the Tkachuk ones, you could tell were staged, not staged, but like we're fighting. It wasn't like they're battling back and forth and whatever, and then they just emotions boiled over. The Brady Tkachuk one, I'm pretty sure he skated over to Bennett and was like, get on the ice. Like literally told him, get on the ice, we're fighting. Like, that was it. I guess that's how it started. But it was the Miller and Parayko fight for me. That was like one of my favorite memories the rest of my life, because it wasn't staged. Miller, obviously, they had that group chat that said they were going to fight, but Miller runs into Binnington a little bit. Parayko was like, no, 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 no. And they both just didn't like each other in the moment, and they went at it. And I was like, dude, this is just two teams that hate each other. And I like, the place went ballistic when Parayko and Miller fought. And it was just very well done. And I think Parayko's stock went up quite a bit. Binnington more than anyone. I'll be honest with you, though. The Canadian fan base, like I tweeted out too. I only had a couple tweets because it was so much. But one of the ones where I tweeted, I was like, Binnington haters are in shambles. Because I wasn't a Binnington hater. I wasn't very public about it because I don't like talking about it. And then you get all the, I don't want to get into the stats and all that, because I understand that Logan Thompson probably should have been Team Canada's goaltender.
Well, look at your goal. Look at Mackenzie Blackwood.
Yeah, it probably should have been Blackwood.
But look at how good Blackwood is with Colorado, yeah. Right? He's completely, because the statistics are, mm-hmm. I mean, not saying he was like bad with the Sharks, but I mean, dude, you play behind a bad team, your stats aren't going to look as good. It's just common sense.
The Sharks games, man, I'd watch games and just be like, dude, how is this not 7-0? Like, I knew that, I said this before, I was like, man, I have a tweet, it was before the season started, but he's going to mess around and win a cup with Colorado.
Well, and then you get games where he'll let in 5 or 6.
Yeah, because he's got bad defense. There's nothing he can do.
And he's completely, probably just spent by it, like, you know what I mean? But no, going back to the Parayko thing, it's funny because I know his brother decently well, and like I text with Colton and stuff, and I was like happy for him. Like I said, like I was like in a spot where I was like, and this is how I viewed this thing, like this tournament, and like I said once again, like I wanted them to win just for like, because it's like I'm American, but at the same time, like I'm also like, it really means nothing.
It doesn't,
in the grand scheme.
Yeah, it doesn't
of
mean nothing. Yeah,
I want to win. It's almost like when the Blues won the Cup, I was glad they didn't beat the Carolina Hurricanes in Game 7, because that's who Boston beat.
To go to the final.
Like, it meant more, like, to beat an original six team, the Boston Bruins.
Oh, interesting.
It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like, oh, we beat nothing against Carolina, but it's like when you beat the Blues and Carolina Hurricanes, that doesn't sound as
like Vegas,
you know,
and Florida. Cool.
Kind of, yeah. So it's like that. And then, you know, same thing, like when we win like something on international stage, like I wanted to be like a gold medal, you know, not a World Cup of Hockey. I don't World Cup of Hockey, great, whatever. Like, I hate NHL rant. Like, this was a good event. Don't get me wrong.
This one was,
but, like,
yeah.
When the NHL gets involved, like, in like international hockey, it's always so, like, forced, which this was forced. It was. I mean, because this was, like, done in the last, like, year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, like, you know, like, we got to get a quick buck in, or we got to push this.
They printed money. Oh,
right.
My God.
And so, I was, like, it's funny. Like, with the Parayko fight, I asked them about it, because I was like, yeah, like, you know, great fight. You did awesome.
He did well. He gave it to Miller.
He fought four. That was his fourth fight ever. And one of them was funny. I don't know if you remember the Sharks. He fought Clem Costin, which he used to play here.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so random. I remember texting him after that. After that fight, I texted him, I remember, and I was like talking to him about it, because it was so surprising that he fought him. But anyways, he's like, yeah, Miller asked me off the draw. And I was like, we just played pretty much a full game with 5D, so no. Because then we had a net front bat on, so he just dropped the gloves, and I just stood there, and I was like, okay. Like that,
dude,
that's how, like, happy-go-lucky he, like, he just doesn't, like, he's not, like, an angry dude.
That's so,
like,
funny. I had no idea.
Like,
that. Okay, that's
when
cool.
You watched him, like, fight, it was, like, the look on his face is almost just, like, just, like, he was just, like, in the moment.
He just overpowered.
He didn't look angry. Yeah. He never looked, like, angry. I've never seen him, like, angry. He's never angry. It's so funny. Like, he can get, like, jabbed in the face, like, four times, and he's just kind of, like, it's kind of like Jay Bomeister, just kind of like
gave
deadpan.
It to him too.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, uppercuts and everything. So yeah, but now going back, like, before the tournament, about, like, we were talking about that. So, like, I talked to Petro about it, and I know people are like hating on Petro. Now
I bet you
now.
I don't want to say regrets, but I bet you he, after what it became, like, man.
It's funny you say that, because I texted him throughout it, And I was like, the first night, so beforehand, Petro has like a decent amount of injuries. Yeah. Like, and he does. Yeah. And everyone's like, well, how is he still playing? Because he's a freaking warrior and yeah. he's a stud. But he's like, he literally told me, he's like, I just want to get through the next 8 games. And that was before the break. And he's also like, he's the type of guy that, and like, you know, a lot of guys would say, it's like, family first, family first. Family. No, when I mean family first, like that dude, he would have retired when he was 29. If you told him like, hey, you need to retire today because you need to go spend time with your kids. Mm. He would have dropped like a soccer break. Yeah. He's just different. He's wired differently. Mm-hmm. Not everyone's like that. And I'm not saying that like these guys don't care about their family.
He's also
like,
won his cups too, right? Like he's had.
Well, I'm even saying before the cups, he's just not like hockey's like, he loves hockey when he's on the ice. He loves hockey when he's in the gym, but he's not like, I don't consider him to be like obsessed with it. Like we are.
Like McDavid.
Yeah,
to the point where it's like their life, like they can't.
He plays to win, like, but he's like he's done it all, right? He's got a gold medal, he's got a World Cup of hockey, he's got 2 Stanley Cups. He's mm-hmm. one of the best defensemen in the league. He's made over $100 million. Like, what else can you do? And I think he's kind of at the point where it's like he's had, you know, some health scares with his daughter. She wasn't even like walking or talking like last year, and he left like the season. I remember he left for like 30 games or whatever it was, 20 games.
He was gone
for like most of the season. So it's like I think he's at the point where he's like, you know. I think, and I mean, let's be honest, me and you love Jeff Merrick. Jeff Merrick, a lot of media people be going into tournament. I love these idiots like Pierre LeBrun. They're like, oh, like, I can't believe people thought this thing was going to be any different than they were going to
Dude, man, no, like, that's, yeah, up. No one thought.
First of all, no one thought it was going to be this level.
No.
But a lot of people didn't even think they were going to go, like, 80%.
Finish a check. Like, exactly. The McAvoy like, hit on McDavid is, like, the poster of the event, because when that happened, dude, when that happened in real life, I was like 10-20 rows up from that, and I remember being so stunned that someone not like laid out McDavid of all, like, you know what I mean? So I thought that maybe there's like a, you know, the bottom six guys are gonna go at it. When McAvoy munched McDavid, I was like, dude, these guys hate each other.
Right. And that was kind of like, so me and you, we watched Merrick, and I didn't watch Kipper and Bourne before the tournament, but I started watching it like kind of during the tournament. I was just watching all the different coverage, and
I'm surprised. When you said you listened to Kipper and Bourne, I was like, man, this guy's kind of getting ramped up for the Four Nations. I knew you were listening to Four Nations content.
I was watching Kipper and Bourne because I was trying to see if Kipper knew anything about like the Quinn Hughes stuff, because that was crazy too. But I was going to ask you, like, did he, before the tournament, was he kind of like, I don't know how
didn't
hard
care.
They're going to try?
Yeah.
He didn't
care. Him and Borny. And Borny's a very, like, humble, like, I was wrong, right?
Yeah.
And they both were like, how is this going to, you know?
So when all the people that we consume, and, like, I talked to freaking Petro, who played, Petro, the first thing he tells me kind of was like, yeah, like, I don't know. Like, he's like, it just depends on, like, how much is, like, you know, how much, like, on the line. Like, what are we playing for? He was even kind of skeptical of it. But like when he backed out, he was like legitimately hurt, and he's like, "I just want to get through these 8 games." And then he like went to like Disney World. Like he was just like,
"Like everyone did."
I'm gonna be like a dad. You know what I mean? Yeah. But like, and I don't like the funny thing is like people are like, "We don't need him." Like, and I'm like, "Dude, he'll be on Team Canada probably next year." Like I don't see him.
I think that he'll be on there. I don't know if he's like he's a lock to at least make the taxi squad. I'm very. Because of like how Harley did and whatnot,
he's better than Drew Doughty. I agree.
The Drew Doughty one, and I'm the Drew Doughty.
Drew played 6 games before the break.
Exactly. If he played the whole season, maybe. But like the fact,
not the same Drew Doughty.
No, when he came off the like again, I'm not a big fan of Drew Doughty, but I can appreciate the fact that he is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, 100%.
He did not look like like I would have rather had Harley and when I mean the biggest moments that he has. Well, he fed McDavid on that pass in Montreal, but he got crushed multiple times. Like he was going through it.
So yeah, like I don't know, and like so when I was going in with all that and hearing all that, I told you the same thing. I'm like, dude, I don't know. Like I'm curious to see. Like I'm not very confident because like of all these people that are like experts and people that are playing in it or not playing in it or saying this, I was kind of like whatever. Then like leading up to it, I told you like I sent you like a screenshot. Or like, I was like telling you like yeah, you know, Preko says they're gonna try. And I was like,
yeah,
so we'll
when you sent me that, I was like, dude, this is okay. That's sick. You had someone on TK be like, yeah, we're trying.
It got me excited to watch like the Sweden Canada game. And they're like, you know, the first, you know, 10 minutes of that game were awesome. It was crazy. And like, even as like an American watching it, I was like, cool. But yeah, like I said, I was wrong with like feeling like they weren't going to maybe go that hard. And they did. And good on the NHL players. I hope
the players made that.
They get paid handsomely for it, but they're going to probably get the 50-50 split. So.
Dude,
I'm excited for next year though. It makes me like
It was a great lead up. Like, that's going to be talked
international
about.
International hockey, it's such a shame. And, like, you can't go back and rewrite the history books, but it's such a shame that we never saw these guys, especially Americans. And I always hate this. Like, when people talk about the World Cup last time, I'm like,
you're talking with Team North America?
Yeah.
I can't stand Team North America. And I know that's a hot take a lot of people. So I can't stand that.
It's so cool. Like, when you, if it's like a video game, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, I got, all these guys together, right? And it's so sick. You take that roster and look at it, and, like, I know McKinnon and McDavid are on the team. But let's be honest, too. McKinnon, at that point, he was good.
McKinnon was a $6 million player. That was when he
wasn't this good. No. So, and McDavid was really good, obviously. But, like, at the time, that's when Canada was, like, I think Canada's, like, really good still. They are. But they're not what they were last World Cup, last Olympics.
There was a tweet that was, like, God, I can't remember who did it. Who said it? It was like 2018 to 2023 has had such an abundance of failure at the top of Canada when it comes to the draft. This should be the era, and I'm paraphrasing, but it was like, this should be the era of Lafreniere, Bowen Byram, Quentin Byfield, and they've none of them at the top have panned out. And when you look at Team Canada's roster, it's all 25 and above. Like, it is a legitimate problem. Like, the top end prospects, like, next year, because of what's at stake, I bet you Macklin's not on it. I don't think Bedard is. And I think that above the really young guys, like,
you don't think Macklin makes it? I think
Macklin has a chance because he is a different breed, and not because I'm a Sharks fan, but he plays so well defensively as a 18-year-old. And he is the future of Canada in terms of hockey, but so is Bedard. I don't think Bedard, the way that he plays is just not, he just hasn't figured it out with his body and his play style yet. But it there's a real issue. Like, dude, Canada's old in comparison. Like, you know, like the USA has like the Hughes brothers and Faber. Like, it's just, it did not go well.
Here's the thing. So, like, we're going to break, like, let's go to our, like, rosters, right? Okay, yeah. Like, unless, and then we'll talk about, like, your, like, event and all that stuff. But, so, like, I'm, like, looking at the 2016 rosters, right? And, like, listen to these Canadian decor. Jay Bouwmeester, Brent Burns in his prime, mm-hmm. Drew Doughty in his prime, mm-hmm. Jake Muzzin, who was paired with Doughty,
yep.
Petrangelo, Vlasic, Shea Weber, mm-hmm. and then you have centers of Bergeron, Couture, Crosby, Duchesne, Getzlaf, Giroux, O'Reilly, Stamkos, Tavares, Thornton, Toews.
It's not the same, man.
Corey Perry, Marchand, and so what I always hate listening to people who are like, oh, like Team USA, they sucked at the last, you know, whatever. Dude, we had
that team now. I'm pretty sure.
Brandon Dubinsky,
yep.
Justin Abdelkader.
You know, God,
Kyle Palmieri, you know, and then you go to the under whatever team, the North American team, the whole team is on the team now.
Yeah.
Connor Hellebuck.
Was Kyle Jacobs. Connor?
Connor was in there. Jack Eichel, Johnny Gaudreau. He would have made the team. Larkin, Matthews, JT Miller, Trocheck. I mean, it's just like, it's like the whole time, like most of the guys that literally Canada played on the team.
Canada's development has been brutal. Like, even like Owen Power, like all these guys at the top of the draft have just not hit, and you're seeing it internationally. And what's crazy is that, like, what made this worse is that, like, Canada, the reason why Canadians take it far more serious than the U.S., and I think that a lot of Americans don't realize, you have 330 million people. We have 40. The fact that we can beat you guys at anything is what has always made hockey important to Canadians, because we really don't, like, in the grand scheme of things, we are little brother. There is nothing that we can do about that. You have 10x the people in your country. There is nothing we can do. But when you look at, I saw the graph of NHL players by country, and in the 80s, it was 80% Canadian. And then now it's 40% Canadian make up the entire NHL, 30% for the U.S. Like, the gap is closed. And when you look at, like, the age, like, man, in 5 years, not even next year's Olympics, so in 5 years from now, there's a real problem. Because if Canada doesn't develop, like, this year, because it can't be in 2 years from now do they have a good draft, because those guys aren't going to make the Olympics, right? But, like, Doughty's gone, Petro's gone, Crosby's gone. You know what I mean? All these guys are out, and they don't have stud horses back there, right? Like, they might be able to take on Finland or Sweden, smaller nations that have struggled a little bit too. But the U.S. is, like, they're going to go through, like, a stretch where they just plow through everyone. But I think
no, that... and that's the thing. Like, I was even looking at the roster. And this is so funny. I didn't realize this. Duncan Keith, Jeff Carter, Jamie Benn, and Tyler Seguin were all originally selected but got replaced. That's how loaded
crazy, yeah.
that team. And those guys were
in
all
2016.
In the prime.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the
Jamie
oldest
Benn
guy
just
was,
won a like, Art Ross.
Joe Thornton was the oldest guy on the team. And he was still good at that time because yep. He would just stand still and chuck saucer passes. But yep. what I was saying is, like, talking about, like, rosters, like, so, like, I always hear that, like, 2016 team, it's like, great, you know, like, the World Cup, like, was a joke, in my opinion.
It
just
was,
because, like,
it was. They didn't
like,
try.
Our, yeah, and all of our players, studs yeah. were on, like, you know, and then we had, like, the goofy final, like, Team Europe, and, like, I understand why they did it.
For
and that's
sure.
where I'm, like, I'm really confused how in 2028 and, like, and then the 2032, whatever, the, how they're going to even cram this in February and have more teams. I mean, we're going to be having games all around the clock for 12 days, I guess.
Dude, what's crazy, man, is that how I can't wait till tonight. We're recording this on Saturday morning. First of all, it is going to be tough to watch a Leafs game. Or
I know,
like,
I'm going to the Blues and Jets game tonight.
It is going to be hard as a hockey fan to go and watch this now because you're going to be watching, you know, no offense to Jake Neighbors, but he's not, I mean, that's a bad example. I'm trying to think of a bad Blue.
Hey, you need a hammer tonight. You need to hammer Kyle Connor tonight. He told the Jets, like, I'm playing tonight. Like, I think he's pissed.
Oh, yo, you're going to see the shot, and, yo,
and
shot
he
prop.
He kills the Blues, and I'm going to the game tonight. Like, you should hammer Kyle Connor for something. Like,
okay. All right, bet. Yeah, like, it is going to be tough. And what's crazy is that all of those guys, the top end guys, they didn't get 2 weeks off. Like, those guys have got to be tired. And I would be willing to bet that the one bad thing about this event, like, thank God McAvoy's not on a, I'm going to say good team, but like a cup contender, because he's out for a while. Theodore is as well, but the Golden Knights survive everything. It doesn't matter.
Chuck, like Matthew, yeah. like, I mean, that groin thing, like,
yeah.
groin, you
that
know
can be the division.
Groin, well, groins are tricky, right? Mm-hmm. You're not like, they're not like a thing where it's like, oh, there's like a time. It's kind of just like,
you wake
you
up
don't
and
really
it's like,
know.
All right, yeah, we're good. Yeah, like that's the one downfall of it is that these guys went so hard and now you're not you're a fan of your country because you're that's over with now. Now you got, let's say you're a Panthers fan. It's like, man, you're a little jaded about the fact that like, you know, because
this is the price of doing business. And yep. like Chris Pronger put out a tweet because people were like already saying this stuff after Shea Theodore got hurt, right?
Yep.
And I had some, that was an unfunny thing. Like, Petro was like, that stupid freaking thing. Like he was yeah. going nuts. Like when I texted him about Theodore and I sent him the video and he's like, what the heck? Like, why are we doing this for this crap? Like,
yep.
And he was like furious because he's like, I mean, that's like one of the best defensemen. You know what I'm yep. saying? So it's like, it's just funny. Like, but no, like Pronger said it best. You know, it's just, he's, you know, he's like, you're going to get hurt playing hockey. Mm-hmm. And like,
it's a dangerous sport, dude. Like, it is a right. violent,
you're
dangerous sport.
So fast, and there's so many things. Like, I'm surprised there wasn't more injuries. I was surprised there wasn't more high sticks. I was surprised there wasn't more pucks to the face
or something. I think that because that it was middle of the season, if this thing was right at the beginning of the year, when dudes are like coming off of just crushing burgers and beers, you know, and right into training camp, and then they have the World Cup of Hockey right at the beginning of the season, dude, I think the injuries would have been insane. Because if they would have actually gone this hard at the beginning of the year, and because they've at least played for 3 months, that maybe they're a little bit more conditioned, right? That maybe saves it a little bit. But man, you know, it makes next year just in. The other thing too, man, is fighting. Like, there is no way to get around the anti-fighters, that fan base, which I'll never understand. You know, it's something that I just won't get. If people that like hockey that think that fighting should be out of the game, it is not something where I think you should have somebody that like an ogre going around beating people up. I don't think that's the case. But the fact that you can answer the bell or make someone answer the bell for something that you don't like, whether it's hitting a big hit on your players or running your goalie, all that stuff, it was allowed in Four Nations. I had to go and Google it because I couldn't remember. It's not, like, you get suspended if you do it in IHF.
Yeah.
We're not going to see that in the Olympics. Like, we'll see good hockey, and they're going to be trying as hard as they can, more than what they were in this probably. And but the Canada-Montreal game in Montreal, or Canada-USA game in Montreal, that is a when people are going to talk and say it's like an all-time game, that is, there's a reason for it, and the fights are a big part of it, man. Like, it got national media coverage in the U.S., which is crazy. that it was being covered in the U.S. You had Stephen A. talking about it. Like, that's my gauge. When Stephen A. is talking about hockey, then something, like, huge went on. Like, that's usually my gauge. Because it's like, the U.S., like, it's like their fourth sport, right? Like, it is a reality of it. And it took over, and I think the NHL did a great job, and I was ecstatic. It was the first time that it made me feel something in hockey. I was nervous. Like, watching the game, I was like, I miss this so much as a Sharks fan. And I can't wait for like 4 years from now when we're actually good again. But it was nice to have.
That's
a team
how, that's how I think I'll feel next year, just because I think that's when, like I said, I want to beat it when it like really, really matters. Yeah. Like when you have that Olympic gold.
Yeah.
Like I've always viewed is like the Olympics is like my favorite hockey to watch, even over the
it
cup
is.
Final, because it you're playing for no money, you're playing for just like your country.
Unified fan base too. Like,
and it's
got to
be
a
like,
U.S.
cool,
fan.
It's just like the coolest. Like I like love like when. I don't love it, but I used to, like, when I was younger, because it was, like, you're a kid, it didn't matter, like, you're in, like, high school. I love, like, waking up, like, early.
Oh, yeah.
Or not even waking up, just staying up.
Yeah.
Like, and watching the games in the middle of the night, and I'm watching, like, the first game, I remember watching, like, Austria.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And, like, Thomas Vanek on
Thomas
the team.
Thomas Vanek, like, oh, yeah.
But it's just, like, I'm so excited, like, and I'm happy that, like, they've already said, and like, God help us, we don't have another freaking pandemic, or
yeah.
You know, or there's nothing crazy that happens, knock on wood, but they're going to be going to, you know, Italy in 2026, and then I think year 30 it's in France, so that's another, a lot of it too, it's funny, like, it's like, where is it, you know what
yeah.
I mean, because like, then they're like, well, it's here, like, where was it, Pyeongchang, like, yep. they did not want to go there,
no,
and it's so stupid, like, I don't care where it is, if you're playing in the middle of Antarctica,
yeah,
who cares? People that don't know hockey, especially here, it's huge for us to have, like, our country watches the Olympics. So it's like, that's when it matters. And that's, like, TJ Oshie's a household name because of what he did that day,
yeah.
Even though it didn't result in anything.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, too. It's funny, like, you go back to, like, the margins, right? Like, I remember watching that game. Like, we only lost to Canada 1-0 on a Jamie Benn flat pass from Jay Bouwmeester. Johnny Quick was unbelievable in Sochi. And it's like, that's how the margins have been so thin. And getting back to what you're saying about margins of like USA and Canada, so many of the players even were saying, Austin Matthews saying, like, we're right there. Yeah, we didn't win.
100%. Like, it's a like, far different
right
dynamic.
There.
When I was,
and that's what's funny when people are spiking the football. I'm like,
yeah.
Guys, it's really close. And that's okay. And I'm cool. It's kind of like when the Red Sox and Yankees were like, boo, doo, 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 doo. Like, you know, like,
Yankees,
you got to respect
it. Yeah, the Red Sox were USA, where they just weren't able to spend as much.
And
it's
gotta
like,
you got to respect it, because it's like, you can get beat by them. And like, it's going to happen. It is going to happen. I'm sorry to break it to people. It's going to happen.
Again, 330 million to 40. Yes. And when the U.S. Yes. want to win it, they will win it because of the amount of people, right?
Think,
like, it just is.
I think we have the same amount of rinks as Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I read.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing, right? Like, we have one thing. We have one thing.
There we go.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. And go ahead.
No, I was going to say the thing that's put us over the top, not over the top of Canada, I mean over the top of how
dude,
good we've gotten.
Juniors, man. That's what I was talking about, the draft.
No,
man.
It's that stupid, I say stupid because I don't know, I, like, it's not stupid, but it's like, I don't know, I have trouble, I think, like, I guess we'll see if my kid ever gets good enough, or like, there's like these like specialized hockey schools now, where it's like, you just go to school.
Yep.
And you're,
really?
And you're, there's schools here now where you just go to, it's at the rink, and they have like, it's called TPH, it's in St. Louis, like, it's all around the country, there's other ones, where it's like, you just go to school, and it's at the rink, they have classrooms at the rink, and like, your like, recess is basically like skating, you eat lunch, you get back on the
really?
Ice, you're on the ice twice a day, I mean, it's crazy, so there's so many more specialized things, but that developmental program that we have up
like
in
UCB,
Ann Arbor,
yeah.
Every guy that's on that team, besides, like, I think like, Hellebuck's the craziest story of all of them, but he's unbelievable. But like all the other guys played. Ottinger, the Tkachuks. I mean, you just Austin Matthews. You go down the list. That's how they all know each other. That's why the camaraderie of the USA guys is so close, because they were all 14, 15,
yeah,
16,
go,
17 years old, and
they
were playing with each other. You like look at that program, and that's what I'm kind of amazed by in Canada, which is like they don't have that. And I'm kind of
surprised.
Because
we have the CHL. It's like the CHL is still no. I'm with you on that.
There's not a team though. We're like because the developmental team, they play in the NAHL,
mm-hmm.
and then the older one plays in the USHL. They play D1 teams and they beat D1 teams.
You're gonna see a big change because the biggest thing that's gonna get hit is the USHL. So like where Macklin played and Fantilli, they both played in the USHL. I think Macklin played for the Chicago Steel. I can't remember. That league is probably going to fold in 5 years. or join the CHL and be the fourth league, because you already have two teams because of the new NCAA rules. Because the OHL, I'm not even being a homer, it is the best development league in the world for hockey. But what you're talking about is crazy. I didn't, because we have a school in my city, which is a major private school, one of the bigger ones in Southern Ontario, and you have to play a sport, and they've got like, they have their own insane rink, like inside the grounds, right? And I didn't realize there was like specialized hockey schools where like that's it, because in, like I said, in this private school near me, you have to pick a sport and then you train for it like once or twice a week and you live on campus. But that's crazy to me. But like I said, so the OHL, like now the guys like Macklin that would be in the U.S. development program or whatever, they can go and play in the OHL. Or if they're out west, they would go play in the WHL for 2 years and then go to Division One college. You're going to see a major shift in that. But the U.S. development program is very interesting because, yeah, it's all those kids and they play together. You're right on that. I remember when I got to meet McAvoy, he told me a story about how him, Fox, Matthews, and Joe Wall used to rip ESHL every night when they were on the development program.
Listen to this roster. Matthews, Roslovic, who is actually nasty with them. They set the all-time record. Him, Tkachuk, and Matthews, the all-time record for points. Christian Fisher, Jordan Greenway, Charlie McAvoy, Colin White, Luke Cunningham, Tage Thompson, Troy Terry, Clayton
That's
Keller.
That's one team?
One team. Clayton
That's
Keller,
all NHLers, wow.
All NHLers. William Lockwood, who had a cup of coffee, Trent Frederick, Max Jones.
Wow.
Adam Fox, Joey Anderson, Ryan Lindgren, all Joe Wall.
That's crazy.
Jake Ottinger, all guys that play in the NHL, all from one team. And that's what I'm saying by like that program is what has saved USA hockey. Not that it was like ever going to be like god awful, but it's like it's what's like revitalized it to get these, you know, like we don't have a McDavid, McKinnon, you know, McCarr, Crosby, whatever yet. But I mean, Matthews is very good. But that's another thing I was alluding to too. It's like, it sucks. Like I will, like, and it's impossible. You'll never get it. But it's like, man, I would love to see everyone just completely healthy playing. Cause you could tell like Matthews is not healthy.
Yeah.
Brady and Matthews, yeah, especially they were grinding through. I mean, and apparently that, Preko's brother was telling me that norovirus, that was what.
Bro, I got, so we all stay at the same hotel. I went into the, I did the event I talked about a lot on my channel and things like that for the NHL through the creator game, which was awesome. I really had a great time.
I tuned in. You sounded like a legit broadcaster.
I appreciate
like, I always
that.
See you. Well, I always see you like broadcasting the video game.
Yeah.
So it's like weird to like hear it, like doing it.
I didn't sleep.
Do a play by play. There's no fans there.
And it was a shrunk rink, so they literally, and they were playing like shinny rules kind of where like, okay, they scored, they basically dropped the puck beside them. So there was no like time to discuss. So anyways, it went really well, but I was definitely nervous of it. And so when you go to an NHL event or when the NHL, so every time I've done GWC, things like that, they put you at the NHL hotel. So whenever they do these temple events, basically the NHL will just take over an entire hotel. And usually it's two, and there was two of this one. So I was staying in the same hotel as like Team Sweden and Finland and USA and Canada. Like I saw multiple players from like Sweden. I saw Nylander walk in the hotel, but I got real sick. Like, so I think that was definitely going around.
Did you have the puking or did you have the pooping?
I had the puking, but I don't know if that was the nerve effect. Yeah, I don't really throw up very much, and it only happened once.
That's what Morrissey had, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Like, dude, it was a real thing because, like,
think
I
like
got
when
real
you
sick.
Puke. Like, I hate puking.
You can't breathe.
Well, and it's, but like, think about that. Like, you want to play in that game, right? Like, you're Morrissey.
Out of breath.
But think about when you have, like, the stomach flu. That's basically what it is. How do you get out of your
car out of Team Canada
How do you leave your, like, 20 feet from a toilet? You know what I mean? Like, you can't play a hockey game. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. If you just can't keep anything down, you just keep throwing up. It's like, I felt so bad for Morrissey. I was like, what a terrible break. But that virus apparently was running rampant.
Yeah, it was bad. Like, I'm just getting over now. Like, my voice is, like, slowly coming back. So I have, like, a deeper tone to it because I've...
Did your wife get it?
No, man, we never get sick at the same time. It's always like, she's fine. I guarantee you that tomorrow she's going to wake up sick. So I just know it. But I thought Montreal was a lot of fun. I had a blast down there. The event they did was really good. You can watch it on YouTube. It's just the creator. I think they call it the 2025 Creator Skills. It was on YouTube. It passed 100,000 on YouTube, which is crazy. Like, so the NHL loved it. I thought it went really well. And
I was talking to KVG, by the way. I was
I sent you that picture.
So Keith is in my Kane, whatever his name. But Keith's in my beer league, and like he grew up like kind of coaching me like as a goalie coach. It's because he's a few years. He's
I didn't realize he was older.
He's a decent amount older than me. He's probably almost 40, if I had to guess. He's like late 30s, but he's a great dude. And I was like talking about it, the pads that they got. Him and Nick got like custom pads.
Bro, the Maverick USA pads that KVG had, were, I was kind of geeking out. Those were unreal.
And I was like, are you going to – he gets to keep them. He was like talking to me. He's like, dude, he's like, you don't understand. He's like, I didn't even bring like anything. I'm like, really?
Dude, he almost
like,
couldn't play.
He's like, they had me on skates out of a box.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, I as a goalie, dude, like there's a big box behind me you can see. I got new, I had to finally order like new pants and all this crap. So I've been getting like Vaughn to send me stuff like because I'm like really, I'm just not good with gear. Like I like keeping the same, like, I had the same pants for 10 years.
Yep.
And finally I got a huge hole like right in the crotch. I'm I guess I have to get new pants now. So I've been trying on different like pants and it's so annoying trying on new gear.
Cause it's stiff, like, what, right?
Yeah. It's just so like, it's so, and like I'm so anal about like how I feel in the net. And so, I was talking to Keith about it. I'm like, dude, like, how? Because I was like, my first question was like, dude, like, I didn't care about like the
belt. And no crease, because they need the nets in.
He's like, I'm like, how was it trying out brand new gear? He's like, dude, you don't understand. He goes, I had new skates too. Yeah. I'm like, what? And he goes, and they weren't even sharp.
Yeah,
I'm
that like, was the what? Issue. So before the game, I don't know if it was Bauer or someone. Like, I don't know what happened. But they wanted to give him new gear, and they told him like, you don't have to bring anything. But yeah, I guess like his skates, like they had to try and get him sharpened. And that was like it started like 10 minutes late, and that was because KVG literally didn't have skates. So that was a little bit. And those events are so crazy, man. They literally took over the Bell Center, and because they had like a practice, like Finland was practicing, so they had to get in and out like immediately. Like it was pretty crazy, and the event went really well. And I watched the chat. I forgot that it was being live streamed, and like in the third game, I'm like pulling up chat, and it was mostly just USA Canada, like just arguing about it. And I was like, man, that's good to see. Like, it wasn't, you know, there's the trolls and whatnot, but it was fun to see. And it was probably one of the most fun things I got to do. And I was happy that it went well, because like I said, you only get those opportunities like once. And if it goes poorly, like you're not coming back. So it went really well. After the Canada USA game, there was a snowstorm coming and Montreal got dumped on like 70 centimeters, which is like, I don't know in inches how much that is. It was basically like 2 feet of snow. And in Montreal, the streets are so narrow. It's only two lanes. It's a very old type of city. And when we were there, they got dumped on Thursday. And when you plow roads, there's nowhere for the snow to go. So like when we're walking down Montreal, it was the most frustrating thing because the sidewalks were like, there's a foot of snow. Like it was the entire weekend. And I was like, man, if we get stuck here, I don't know when we're getting out. They got 70 centimeters on Monday. We left Sunday. We left right at the end of the game, went to the hotel, packed our stuff, got in my truck, and I drove 12 hours home, like no sleep, down the 401, which is the most dangerous highway, probably in North America. Like there's literally a Discovery show about it. And but other than that, like it was an absolute blast. And the Canada-USA game, dude, like I said, just – I wish Canada would have won, but when McDavid scored, like, just unreal. But anyways, that was a lot of Four Nations talk. Actually, I don't think people would be that upset because there was a lot of Four Nations, a lot of people that wanted to talk about Four Nations, I feel like. That was
Let's get into the video game.
Yeah, okay. let's talk a little bit. All right.
Fans out there, we want to do podcasts. We do.
We do.
I want a reason to get on here and be fired up or be interested or excited or whatever.
We just did 40 minutes on Four Nations and we were fired up to talk about it.
And like people are gonna be like mad, but it's like, guys, like, oh man, like I know I'm not playing HUT this year, but it's like I tell Sleaze, I'm like, the best way I could describe like the content team is like this year summing it up. It's like you look at those champs cards they release.
Yeah.
And it's just copy and pasted of former team builders with Madonna. Mm-hmm. Even the same abilities. Jeremy Roenick, Neuendijk, Seabrook. I mean, just go down the list. And they finally, when we started making a little bit of noise on Twitter about it, me and Sapp and a few others joked about it, they finally went with like Wyatt Johnson and Mark Stone and Erik Karlsson. But it's like, that's the kind of reason, like right there for like content where I'm just like, and I'll see the MSPs they release and I'm like, good God. Like, we just, like, I don't know. I'm in the camp of like, I think it's cool when you have MSPs that, like, at least in the beginning of the year, because the overalls aren't as high.
Very close,
like,
yeah.
I always go back to like the Halloween one a few years ago, and that was when it was like good content, in my opinion, of like when they had like, and it wasn't because of Parayko. Parayko,
like heavy hitters.
Bufflin, Ryan Reeves.
Yeah,
like
heavy hitters.
They did like cool ones where it's like they're not going to get another MSP ever again.
Yeah,
or like, you know, and then same thing with like chance cards. I always liked when the old chance cards were like William Karlsson, Braden Schenn. Like just
I'm curious.
Like,
I was scared like when you said that.
And Sherrod had one. You know, it's like obscure guys that will never get good cards. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think that's like cooler when they, when, or, you know, when they do that. But I don't know, man. Like, it's just like, I'm like, I don't even miss not playing Hutt. And like, yeah, some of it's GWC, of course. But at the same time, it's just, yeah, like, I see, like, I watch some of your stuff. I'll pop in your stream and I'll see it. And I know you're not as into it. But even though I know it's your job.
No, it's not. It's been frustrating this year. Like, I think that, like, from the content team and the conversation about it, I'm, like, exhausted about it, kind of, just because it's been, you know what I mean? Because it's just been, the whole year, there's a new philosophy, and I'm just old. I've been a game, I used to joke about how, like, there's a cycle of being a game changer. And it's like, you get in, you're excited, you want to help in every single area and have all these discussions and be involved, even in, like, franchise. I don't play franchise or World of Shell, so it's like, and then you kind of find your lane, and you just kind of stick to the one type of gameplay that you stay in, and then, you know, you're less happy, and then, like, you start to see the, like, not the real stuff and how things work and how little impact you have, and then it slowly just becomes, you're bitter, you're angry, and then you're baking country and you just leave. Like, that's like the cycle of being a game changer, and I'm not talking about leaving or anything like that, but I'm just at the point where I'm like, I don't feel like a lot of the time where I feel like wasting my time now of discussing.
What's
it.
The point of writing paragraphs and writing novels if they're not going to
acknowledge it, right? Like, that's not acknowledged.
And like, I said,
content team, by the way. I think this has been a big philosophy change since Ben left. You know, we used to harp on Ben Ross every single podcast. Like, if you went back in like our first like season of this, the amount of hate we would give Ben Ross, I would take Ben back in a heartbeat simply for the level of discussion that guy had. You could tell the guys, and I've met a lot of them, there are good developers on the team, that it's not just they want to do a good job, but they're like obsessed with the game. And Ben was one of them. And when he was at the height and kind of leading things, it trickles down a little bit. And, you know, like, now you don't realize what you have till it's gone, you know?
100%.
And that's where I think we're at now. I mean, I want to talk a little bit about gameplay, because obviously you're not playing Hutt this year, really.
And I'm still playing the game. I'm just playing Versus. Like, I've had fun doing it. Like, we talked about, like, last podcast a while ago. But I have fun, like, playing. It's still competitive. And, like, people really care on that Versus leaderboard. It's very –
that's
very
crazy to me still.
Very interesting. I did like a stream like a few weeks ago, and you might have popped out. Yeah, and like people were like, actually, like people thought it was like funny, just because it's like, it's so different, because everyone streams like ESHL or Hutt, ESHL or Hutt. So it's
absolutely,
like,
yeah.
It was like, there's really nothing to stream. It's boring. I understand. There's not like a card to try out. And like I said, like, I miss like getting on and like feeling like, you know, like there's something to like play for a little
that's
bit.
That's the problem with Versus right now in this landscape, is that like there's nothing. Like, you play the game, which is crazy. That's how it should be. It should be like, you enjoy playing because you want to play the video game, like the actual sport, not just like, I got to do my chores to get this card.
I think the gameplay is pretty decent. Like, I don't think it's the worst gameplay by any means. Like, I'll say this till the day till it changes. I hate the goalies. I will never like the goalies until they go back to Ben's goalies.
Yeah.
Which was in
2022. NHL 2022
goalies. Give me those goalies back. Now, the other part of the gameplay, like, is pretty fine. I don't know about you, I don't love the L2
anything that is not a real hockey play. After, I'm at the point now, man, where I'm not good. Like, I am like Division 2, and I don't even know.
I finally brought you over to the dark side where you like real hockey plays.
Yeah, like, I can't, like, it legitimately makes me so angry when I see dudes that do that, and
just wiggling up the ice.
Yeah, like, I don't even mind when they keep it open. I don't even mind when you keep it open towards the play, but the second that you're doing because, like, you don't get a speed boost in real life when you backhand off your edges. Like, it's obnoxious. And all the people that are really good at this game that laugh, like,
oh, that's all they do.
You know what I mean? And it's like, dude, and they'll just say it's because you're shit, and it's like, you know, like, get good at the game, and it's like, bro, like, I understand. I've covered the game at the highest level for 4 years. A lot of the people in the community,
What about the hitting?
Dude. And there's no stopping the
L2. How is that not patched yet? Like, you yeah. know, you know, you can't probably, they're probably, they were probably struggling patching the L2, LT.
Yeah.
How are we patching hitting back checking with our hit sticks?
Yeah, man. Like, the fact that you can't bump people off, like, that was always the thing. Like, when you L2'd, if you put your back to someone, if they just did the slightest shove, they just get ragdolled. And that was a way to, like, stop that, right? Like, it was a way to say, if you could, I said this a couple weeks ago on Who Should You Choose, actually. It was like, if you could just stumble animation off of a slight bump, people that do the L2 down the board, the entire thing would be wiped out. But because when you go to shove check, they just protect the puck, like, you're screwed. And then if you go to stick check, tripping penalty. It's just like,
How many penalties do you get when you shove check so much that you get like a cross checking?
Oh, yeah. And the third one.
And I'm like, using, I think me and you both use Total Control, right?
Yeah.
So that was like one of the, like, honestly, like, it made me better. Like, it actually made me better because, like, dude, and they, I love how, like, every year they're like, we patch the hip check. And it's still just as annoying and just as effective. I go into the forecheck and I have that.
Nothing like when the butt.
Oh yeah, I got my butt hanging out, and I'm forechecking.
When
with
I'm
it.
Like trying to get on the breakout, and there's just a dude that turns his butt around and comes right in on the fore. I'm like, bro, I've said this for years that like when you get to Division II, you don't play the sport, you play the game, and it's just like I'm at an age now where if I see it, I'm just like I have the level of interest. If I beat this dude. Is just so low because if this person beats me, like, I don't care. We didn't play a hockey game. You know what I mean? Like, we played Hutt. Like, we did not play a hockey game.
And going back, I think you said, like, last episode, that's part of the thing, too. Like, I was going to give Hutt a chance. And I'll never forget you texting me in the beginning of the year. And you're like, dude, if you're not going to put the time in, you're not going to even have a team, really. Man. Like, it's not even like free to play.
I think they've changed it quite a bit since then because that was when it was just the XP path. Dude, the first 2 weeks, if you're to go back and look, anyone listening to this, you go back and look at the first 2 weeks when we didn't have any of the objectives yet and it was just the XP path and we thought that that was the only reward. It was like, holy smokes, we're screwed. I think that is free to play. If you were to do your chores, you can make a team. I don't want to say it might be one of the easier years because progression is so low, but you still have to do your work. Like, I've played the game less than I've ever played, and I spend more time just, like, on videos and content and, like, just information-type things. And I still have, like, a really good team. But, no, man, like, if you aren't playing pretty regularly, it's kind of tough, and especially with some of these events because, like, the free ability events, if you didn't take advantage of them or have Team of the Year cards, like, you're missing out on it quite, or fantasy. God, dude, 99 Pareko is nice, but if you didn't get him or Sorelli, like you're like,
we call that one, boys.
Yeah.
We were all dude, over that one.
I still have that. I don't know if you saw that, but I made it in one.
I did. I'm like, you gotta listen to Sleaze, boys, because I've been 2 for 2 on that with Kyra and Pareko now.
Dude, I literally texted you, and in my video, I'm like, man, Ekholm, I think I'm gonna make Ekholm. And I'm like, wait, I'm gonna text Stu. I was like, is Pareko hitting 99? You're like, 100%. No, I'm like, oh, we're going Pareko.
But even like Chance for someone like that's like competitive, and I consider myself still competitive, like playing the game, it's just like I have a tough time being like it was like the flex cards, as you call them. It was like cool having like a lineup full of them. Well, now it's like everybody down to like what is it, like 10 or 11 wins gets the card.
No, 100 top 100, bro.
Wait, what happened to the didn't the beginning of the year that they gave people that had 10 wins the card?
Oh, sorry, 10 wins gets you the purple, like lower overall. Top 100 gets +1 overall to orange.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. But even then, though, it doesn't feel like it's like, I don't know. It's like everyone well,
top
gets one,
the difference between top 20 and top 100 is a very, very different gap. And I mean, maybe it isn't even anymore.
In the beginning of the year, when I saw the cards, like the difference between getting like the top 100 one and like the one that was like 15 wins or whatever wasn't huge.
It was it's one overall. It's literally one overall. It should have free abilities or something, but
it needs like something where like it entices you. There's some sort of like. And like we've talked about even gimmicky things like banners and like things on the ice or just something where it shows like something to be proud of. He's the October champion of the month. Like what?
100%. I'm with you on that. Like they
it's such easy little cosmetics that we had when me and you were in freaking high school.
Dude,
so
the goalie records, bro. Dude, the goalie records when you loaded into like Hutt, it was just like, oh no, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like you would stay there and wait and be like, dude, I'm going to get flooded here. I agree. Like we're in a era of NHL where, like I feel like when, we all ask for something. So first to acknowledge, like, I desperately wanted one-timers back in the game. I have said that since NHL 23, right? Because they took them out in 23 where a goalie would basically make a save and one-timers just didn't go in. I didn't say allow us to huck it in with this green arcade animation that a D2D will basically always go in. I didn't say that. I said allow us to just haul off a 1T in a spot where it's set up well and let it beat a goalie. You know what I mean? Like,
hey, I was going to ask you a question because, like, Malcheski, he's a good puck player. He's, like, one of the best ones in the game.
Don't tell him that.
especially this year. Like, he's perfected that, like, little wiggle skate thing. And he talks about, so is there some sort of glitch with defensemen that I'm going to bring it out of the bag with Heatseeker that I don't know about?
I have talked about Heatseeker, even just like as an ability. And early on when Parayko got it, his fantasy card, because he hit was so high in overall and the progression of the game was so low, like we're only at like 91s right now. MSPs are only 91s and it's almost March, which is I actually enjoy because, again, when everyone complains about 99 hut, the game is not meant to be played like that. I still think shooting is too high. But nonetheless, I don't think that's a major issue in progression. But because Parayko had shot way higher than progression and he had gold Heatseeker, you can just huck it in. And the reason why I like it is because you don't have to just D2D one-timer and it makes people have to defend the wrist shot from the point too. So Heatseeker is one of the more fun abilities, like, in my opinion. It just causes such chaos. And if you have a screen, you can just throw it in upstairs. Like, the game is so arcadey. That's the thing, right? And there will always be people that enjoy that more than just completely sim-based. But I still think that because the player base skews so old, look at the best, like, if you were to go through all the top HUP players, it's all young guys, right? And they probably enjoy the arcadey stuff. Right. All the older people enjoy, like, the, you know, there's a reason why, like, John Wayne and, like, all the guys, like, in their 30s were still good at the game. And it was because it was very hockey based. It was very, like, what we grew up as a kid playing. Right. And it just does not seem like that. I'm so curious because I remember when I did one of those interviews with Mike Englehart last year. Right. Which, unfortunately, they don't do anymore in the community. Not just the HUT content team, but the team in general is just so radio silent. Right. It's.
Discord. When did they bring that Discord back?
Huh? Yeah, they just were completely radio. I mean, but they talked about 3-year cycles of, like, hey, we can't develop everything we want in 1 year. So we have 3-year cycles of, like, we want all these things. And at the end of it, we've got, here is our vision for the game 3 years ago. And it kind of comes together. Like, they've done that now, 23, 24 and 25. Right. So it's like, what comes next now? Right. Like, I really hate the hitting. I can't stand it. I wish it would go back to just what it was. I can't stand where you charge up. I think it's silly. It doesn't connect. It's very frustrating. I hate the goalie moving out of the way of a green one-timer, like, to counteract. You know what I mean? I hate the green one-timer in general. No one shoots the puck 106 miles an hour in a real game. To get to 106 miles an hour, you need no one in front of you. You're shooting a foot off the ice, and you need 7 strides to get both cheeks into it, bro. And the fact that, you know, my Ray Bourque can shoot at 107 miles an hour is just so obnoxious, right? And there's people that enjoy that, right? But it's just, and you hear, like, that cannon shot when you shoot it. I don't know. I'm a bitter old man now.
I'm, like, clicking on, like, random events right now. And it's, like, this would make me so just, like, gosh, man, like, seriously, Patrice Brisebois. I'm, like, looking, they gave him an MSP, and it's just, like, guys, why? Like, who's, like, I really want Patrice Brisebois again? It's like, remember, like, how many years ago was it? It was like 3 or 4 years ago. Remember when he had, like,
his team builder was unreal. Yeah, it was last year, I think.
There was, like, another year where it was, like, the very, very beginning of the year, and he was, like, a 79 or 80.
Yeah.
He was, like, 85 speed. I remember he was just, like, on everybody's team, and it was, like, a weird, like, alumni card. It's just, like, I don't know. There's just so, like, I like this one. Kirill Marchenko.
Yep.
Bang.
That
right
was a
there.
Great way. I agree, because no one, I do all there those recaps. Go. He's unreal.
Dostal. Like, something, like, there's so many NHL players out there that you can, like, pick from that are, like, it'd be cool. And I understand we make the card art in the summer. Like, it's just, like, I don't know, man. Like I really want to play HUD again because I want to, like, this will lead into, I mean, unless you're good on the game, kind of, like, and we'll, and like, we need to, we'll come back and record more things. But me and Steve,
the one thing is, I do Who Should You Choose, and that's basically a 20-minute hut podcast 5 times a week. Like that's it. Yeah. That's what I was saying, guys. So everyone asking where Coffee and Chill is, like, Steve would be like, "Yeah, we should do a podcast." I'm like, I literally just spent 2.5 hours this week talking about hut. I don't know what the hell else I can say that isn't already discussed. So like, that's a big part of it. And obviously, you guys want us to talk about the game, and it's just like, I don't know what else can be said, right? Like, it, you know, GWC was going on, at least we had the dynamic of, like, I'm not competing, and you were
and
competing.
Drama, and, like, exactly, players, yeah, and, like, exactly. who cheated, and yeah. who faked proof, or yeah. who was being, you know...
GWC is an era, bro.
Out of the tournament.
Like, that's, like, the virgin era. Like, not virgin gaming era. Where, like, the tournaments of...
It really was that era, though.
Yeah, yes. Dude, but, like... We're going to look back because GWC will never come back. GWC will never come back. I don't think ever. I think that the only way that we see an esports of any type is if EA does it. And I think that there's actually a strong possibility because I know EA listening in the background, they want to do things. I know they wanted to do a tournament for the Four Nations event, like where like they literally had a versus like tournament for it. They tried to get the logistics for it. Planning that stuff, man, legality, when you get into doing tournaments from like a company-wide thing, bro, you guys don't understand. The legal documents and whatnot that have to be signed, it's obnoxious. And like, so unfortunately they couldn't get that, but
it's funny you say this because back in the day in NHL 09, that was the first year at ESHL.
Yeah.
They had the best PS3.
Yeah, it was the EA Sports, like Purple Cobras. Yeah,
best PS3 team and Xbox 360 teams fly out to Vancouver. Mm-hmm. They play for a trophy that still is
in the office
to this day, and they've never given out again. If you did something as simple as that, people would still play. And it was on the game. All they said was, hey, it was very scuffed-ish. They're like, hey, get top 16. We'll have playoffs, and then we'll go from there. And it was like it was all around the end. There was no prize money. They paid for your flight, but they gave you a tour suit. And I was kind of telling my wife this the other night because she's like, yeah, you really haven't like played NHL at all this year. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, there's just not much to do. And I'm like, I actually miss like with GWC, but it's kind of the same thing as like what EA Sports did in 09. Mm-hmm. Something as simple as this. And this is what these kids, they can't appreciate. And if you brought up the virgin era, it's also the era of like...
I meant virgin gaming for anyone that doesn't understand.
Know,
yeah.
But it can go both ways. Yeah. And it's kind of like, it's also kind of this thing of like, you know, like I don't need a job or I don't need it. You know, I can quit school and I could be an e-sport. And it's like, that's great. You picked the wrong game. But like that kind of gave this like little like false hope to these kids. And the thing is that they don't appreciate that like I do, you do. Other people do. Like last year, I just go down to Nashville. Yeah, we're playing on big screen TVs, whatever. But you know, like the best part about it, so my wife's like, why can't you make tournaments where you have NHL teams involved? You can still go to these like, you know, cities or places or tournaments. It's the experience. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all the experiences. Like, you get to go to the Predators game after. Maybe they bring you downstairs. They show you around the locker. Just, like, things where, like, people, like, back in the day, hey, come to EA Sports Studios. We'll give you a gimmicky trophy that still hangs to this day. But we'll show you around the studio. Like, I think people think, and then meeting people they never met. Yeah, back then in 09, it was obscure.
I think it's
the experiences. Yeah.
And I think that's going to come. So again, I got to see like the background of GWC the entire time, essentially. And I remember in the last year, I remember telling about being very vocal about this. Like part of me wanted it to go away simply because everyone felt so entitled about the event and it was propping up the video game from a competitive standpoint. And I was like, if it goes away, it forces a course correction. Like, I don't want to get into politics, but it's legitimately what's happening in North America. We just need, like, a complete reset, right? And I think that competitively, in 2 years, EA is probably going to be like, this is a major thing missing, and they do care about competitive game because Madden still has a thing. FIFA still has, like, a big tournament, stuff like that. So I think that they will eventually be like, hey, we need to do something. And just like you said, like when you go years without it, dude, the CBJ event that's going on right now, for anyone who doesn't know, they're doing a HUD event and it's done really well. My man, Tris, who owns LG, he created like this pretty crazy system to track games and your stats and all of that automatically. Really well done. But you could see the amount of people that actually signed up and played for that. Like, I don't know how many total there was, but I think there was like 100. And the fact that, like, that doesn't sound like a lot, but you have 100 people playing for, like, what is it, $1,000?
And that's the thing. What I was trying to say is, like, you could have
when nothing else is there,
you could have a zero, like, money prize.
Yep.
But hey, we'll pay for your flight, your hotel. and like these things that aren't like whatever, and kids will still play because it's like the flex. It's the experience. Like, I think you need to go back to like the grassroots stuff. It doesn't all need to always, we've talked about this. Like, I'm not always, it doesn't have to be about money always. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what these kids, they like flex. Remember their earnings that they had.
GWC shot themselves in the foot, man, because they came out with like a $2 million budget in the first 2 years. And there's simply no way to keep that up during the esports glory days. I'm not talking about just NHL too. Like, I'm talking about like, esports in general went through such a bubble that will never be met again because marketing companies are like, first of all, you had COVID, so everyone's at home and everyone was watching video games and stuff like that. And then you had marketing budgets where they're like, yeah, esports is on the rise. We've got to put money into it. And it's like, wait, there's no ROI here. So, you know, it's just a course correction. And then you're going to have to figure out a way to keep like people. And again, when it comes to sports video games, the better you get at the game, the less you are playing the sport and the more you're playing the game. And that was a big thing, is like you watch it. I think World of Chell, I can't believe I'm going to say this. World of Chell is the only way that you will get viewership or the casual. I'm talking about the casual, non-Twitch or YouTube person to care, simply because in World of Chell, there's no AI, right? And it still won't be perfect. But, you know, from a general interest standpoint, HUD is still going to be king just because there's so many more people that care about it online. Right? Yeah. It isn't like a 1v1 is better than sixes or sixes versus. I just think that if you're talking with a pure, just completely casual person, like the Mikes in Idaho, you know, the only way you're going to get them to care, I think, is World of Chell, simply because that, like, there's less glitching in that. But, you know, it is what it is. And I think that it's going to be interesting. NHL 26 is very interesting to me. In the sense that, like I said, we went through that 3-year cycle that Mike talked about. So, like, what is next now? What's their new thing? Like, are they going to bring back Gym Connected or something? Like, I don't know what it would be, but I'm not big on the arcade stuff, you know? And I think that I'm with you on that. Like, I think that the in-game, I hate the presentation of the game. And what's crazy is that Pritch, the presentation guy, is, like, one of the last, like, unreal devs. Who cares? And I don't hate the presentation because it's bad. I hate the presentation because it's not traditional broadcast. And I think that's what a lot of the fans want. And I would love to just see the banner of being a HUT champ over an orange card that you're probably going to get rid of. Like, if you played Marlowe, the first HUT champs of the year, right? You got top 100 first champs of the year. One of the most impressive things you're going to do all year. Because the first champs is when everyone's playing. Everyone's teams are fairly similar. Like, you have that, if you have that orange Patrick Marlowe card, it's gone. It's probably already traded in. It might even have been account bound. I can't remember. But if you had a banner.
Dude, hang the literal card.
Yeah, hang the card up, bro. Yeah, put the card up in the rafters. Dude, that would be easy. Yeah.
We already have the cards pop up after
Hell
goals.
Yeah,
anyway.
Dude. Put it on a flag. Make it wavy. Oh, yeah. You're onto something there. 100%.
But like, going forward, like, we're probably wrapping this one up, but it's like, going forward, like, we'd like to be able to do these. And me and Steve just talked
sparingly, man. I mean, like, every couple of weeks.
We talked about like MLB coming up, and he's.
We love MLB, which the fans probably hate. We love MLB,
but we would like. I mean, we talked about kind of kicking around, like we do maybe like more MLB too on the podcast, like, you know, because, you know, we're not the best players in the world in NHL, you know, so, and we still talk about it. People still like to listen to it, so I don't, you know, Please is going to get a whole new audience again this year. He got a bunch last year. He's going to be covering MLB again.
I just got comms that I will be co-hosting my first esports event in MLB for the Tampa Bay Rays. So I'm pretty excited about that. They did.
Well, like, we want to talk about that because our favorite sports are baseball and hockey.
I think
we both agree.
I think they line up, man. Like I said, like, there is no better sports combo from a gaming standpoint. Sports games are not year long. They're 6-month cycles. That's it. They run it in they coincide with the regular season of that sport. And there is no better combination than hockey and baseball, simply because of when it ends. Now, a lot of people don't like baseball because it's boring, and I don't blame you. You either like it or you don't. But just from if you were to look at like the amount of people that play NHL and also play MLB, I would say it's probably like 30%, which is pretty crazy because the sports are so different. And it just, for me, like, because the hype meets its peak of MLB right when NHL goes like this and vice versa, it's just like, it's so perfect. And I just wish I could take advantage of it because I don't have to travel this year. I don't have to go away. And MLB this year is, they've done all of the things that the hardcore community wanted from a grind standpoint and foundational standpoint. They've made a lot of changes. Don't know if it's going to be good. But they made some of the craziest changes, and we'll have to see how it plays out. But definitely, like, you know, it sucks. Dude, we had to do this, for anyone that doesn't know, it's 8 in the morning my time, 7 in the morning Stu's time. So we were up at the crack ass of dawn having a kid. I remember you talked about it when Pavel was on, like, when I have a kid, that it's going to be, like, impossible to do this. And it's simply just a time thing. Like, you know, once my ice dog stuff ends, I have a little bit more time. But, like, it's tough to find the time, too.
It's definitely, yeah. No, and, like, I want to get back to it because, like, I like doing it. It's fun. And
I like the 40 minutes of Four Nations and talking real hockey, but the comments are going
to
hate it.
It's kind of just, like, at the point, we're getting to the point of the podcast where it's, like, we want to talk about what we want to talk about. And I don't mean that in the dickest
way. And maybe that weeds it out. You know what I mean? If you don't like it, you don't listen anymore.
Like, we want to talk about, like, current events with tariffs and the politics, you know, but not like that. But it's, like, we want to talk about, like, sports, because we like sports, and we talk about, like, you know, I like to talk about Sleaze's opinion on Alex Bregman, but we don't have time right now. But, you know, I'd like to get to that next week. You know, so it's like, you know, it's like there's things like that that, like, interest us. And I think it's, like, a broad thing. Like, you know, baseball starting soon. I'd like to talk about baseball a little bit. And, like, I know we're coffee and chill, but we kind of want to get to a point where we can still, like, talk about hockey will always be number one. NHL, the video game, will always be number one, especially for Sleaze. Like, that's his job. But MLB is, like, he wants to get into that. He obviously cracked code last year.
I'd love to be a 50-50 creator. It's so hard, but I'd love to do that.
And I play it 50-50 now, so it's like, and I don't, you know, I'm like a world, I always say, like, I'm like a 900 right there player. I don't really, like, push myself to go more. I wish there was something more to, and there is.
Now there is. The go difficulty, bro.
Yeah, so, like, that's the kind of thing where it's like, you know, and we kind of got to the point with, like, MLB where it's like the content is so cool and great that it was like how it was when I did play NHL, when Hawk was the content guy, and it was, like, fresh every week. And, you know, maybe we start going in that direction a little bit, or, you know, at least in the spring and the summer we do that. And then maybe next year in NHL we try it again. But that's kind of like what we were talking about the other day. It's just like,
we'll try and keep the cadence of the shows at least every 2 weeks and try for the week every weekend, I think, is probably if we can do Saturday morning at the crack ass of dawn. I mean, like, that's a time that I'm able to.
And I can do it.
My son is now awake. I just got a picture.
Yeah, no, both of our, yeah, I can hear my kid. Like, they just woke up. But it's like, it's one of those things too. And then we don't want to feel like POS fathers where you're, like, sitting here and the kid's going bananas in the background.
Yeah, like, and also,
but,
like,
that's why we do it so early. Not that it's, I mean, I get up earlier on my weekdays, but on the weekend, it's kind of nice where you're like, okay, I don't have to get up like I normally get up every day. So you're like, but I don't care to do this. But it's like, we want to have I was genuinely excited last night when I was like, this will be fun to talk to Sleazy about, you know, the Four Nations and all. And, like, we don't even, because me and Sleazy, we haven't even talked about it much just by ourselves.
No,
like,
we do. We haven't really shot the shit for a while. The other thing is, too, is that, like, I'm at the point where covering NHL, complaining about it all the time on every video and stuff like that is so, like, just draining. Because there's people out there that enjoy it. Like, that's the thing I've realized is that, like, viewership will go down and all of that, but the people that watch my content, they'll listen to my opinion or want my opinion on things, but, like, I don't really just go full negative every time because it's like, man, there's people out there that just want the info and they don't really care about the politics of, like, the game and behind, you know, and so that's another reason why, like, the lack of episodes, because it's like, what, are we just going to complain about something we always complain about?
And I'm not even, like, at your level, so I'm spending the sense, like kind of, like, not being listened to, right? Like, we're not going to be listened to. It's like, what's the point of just screaming at a wall and you're just like... And it's like, let's just recycle the same.
It's therapy. You know, like, that's all it is. It's literally just therapy. Yeah.
And, like, before, it's like you were more invested because of, like, especially me, like, GWC. But it's like with other things, it's like, I don't even know, like, why am I going to get this mad over something where it's like, I'm going to play NHL 26. Like, we're
100%, dude. That's the thing. It's the addiction. We're hockey fans. 100%.
And we're all just going to hope, right? Yep. It's just going to be a big hope. It's like, so I don't see any point in sitting here just like,
I'm with you on that.
Or whatever they're called, devs, and, you know, I'm not going to sit here and just, because it's just like, what's, it's not going to
ruin your
anything.
Day and your mood, right? Yeah, I'm with you on that, dude.
And then it just makes you, like, annoyed and pissed off, and you're like, and you feel defeated.
That's
you
it.
Know? So,
yeah, that's it.
And I don't want to do that. And I, like I said, I want to talk about exciting things where it's like, okay, Four Nations fun, your experience, you know, hockey. I know it's not the video game. And then, you know, tie in, like the most thing that we can have in common at this point is, like, how's things going, like, playing the actual game? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what have you done? Because, like, you know, we made fun of the skating thing, or we make fun of this, the one-timer thing. It's like, we can all agree on
that.
Maybe not all agree, but you can all, like, you know, something that you can talk about, everyone goes through, basically. So, 100%. I don't know. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
It was, well, man, it was a good episode back. We even went a little long. It was fun. And hope everyone enjoyed. Well, like I said, we'll see how often we can keep them up, but we definitely want to keep it alive. And it wasn't for a lack of not wanting to do one. It's just simply when you get a kiddo and then you've got other stuff going on, it's just pretty tough. And yeah,
give us the state of the game. Talk about here too.
100%. Yeah, if there is something that you want, like a topic, if you're gonna comment on the video, if you've listened to this point of the podcast, we desperately want to hear your opinion because you're a real one. If you listened to an hour and 15 minutes of us talking about nonsense,
remember the days when you're like Kesta in the very beginning, like, what's your favorite movie?
Dude, the top five list. Oh my god, dude. Yeah, like, let us know what you want us to talk about.
You know, like, I love those. Like, I listen. Those are funny. But it's like, I don't want to get to a point where we're like,
nah.
All right, what's our top five moments from the 1990s?
Like a job interview.
All right, bro. VHS tapes.
Well, boys, that's episode 104. Thank you guys again for listening. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.